Hello, everybody, and welcome to this session on quality of multi-source data. I hope you still have energy after three intensive days and after a very nice dinner. I would like to introduce myself first. I am chairing this session because I worked for several years on the coordination of the Vision Project admin. For those that are outside Europe, this is one of the strategic projects of the European Statistical System, and it's trying to improve the use of administrative sources. So it's called European Statistical System VIP, Vision Implementation Project, admin from administrative data sources. And this project, we started working on it already in 2012. Yes, in 2012. And we tried to develop several areas of work, including access to data, to administrative sources, better methodology for integrating administrative sources in production of statistics, and improvements in how we define and measure quality when we combine administrative data with surveys. And this session is dedicated to deliverables of this project, admin project. The project is now approaching the end. It will end in the end of 2019. And we are having already some results that we would like to share with you. I can only tell that we have gone a long way since the time when we started working on this project. In 2012, there were some countries that had the tradition of using administrative sources, mostly the Nordic countries. And then there were some statistical domains which traditionally were based on administrative sources. But it was not so common to use administrative data in the classical surveys, let's say. While nowadays, a lot of countries are relying on administrative sources to collect part of the data that before was collected in surveys. And just to give an example, in the next census round in 2021, we'll have more than 20 countries that will rely heavily on administrative sources. So we really walked a long way on this. I would like to give some information to the presenters. You will have 15 minutes for each presentation. I will warn you 2 minutes before your time is out. So this red card doesn't mean you are out. It means you still have 2 minutes. It's not like in football. And and I think I will invite now my colleague Matyáš Mészáros to start with the first presentation. His paper is called Administrative Data and Quality, Guidelines towards Better Quality of Administrative Data. Matyáš works in Eurostat, and he's a methodologist in the methodology unit. Before that, when he joined us in Eurostat in 2015, he first started working on the EU Silk survey. Matyáš, the floor is yours.
Okay, good morning for everyone. Thank you very much for this. And then this presentation is together with Sorina. We prepared it because Sorina was the predecessor of Fabian, who is now taking care of the project management, and I am taking care of two work packages, work package 2 and 7 of the admin project, which I want to show some of the results of this. So let's start. Why we are doing this project? So we can see more and more needs from the user side that they want to have a fast and cheap statistics. And then how can we reach this goal? The easiest way to use already existing sources like administrative data sets. And in this way, we see that there are some of the member states are struggling to get there. So Eurostat, together with the ESS, so the European System of Statistical System, made the ESS Vision 2020 admin project to support the member states in this endeavor. So it is like we try to facilitate the use of pharmaceutical resources, but not just this in a simple way, they're providing as well some guidance, some guidelines in it, provide methodological knowledge, providing some trainings, and as well providing some instruction, how can we assess the quality of the administrative data sources and the output based on the multi-source data sets. So, and part of it, there is 7 work packages, and I already mentioned that I will do some of it. Work package 2 concerns methodological issues. How can we integrate different data sources? And part of it, we started to prepare guidelines on how can we use different integration techniques for administrative data sources. But the issue is that it's a very wide topic. It's a very big complexity in the topic because it can be different type of data sets, it can be different type of accessibility of the data sets, and then it can be overlapping data configurations and so on. So it's very large cases, and then if you have just cases as well, we have a lot of solution how to solve this problem. So again, this is provides an enormous possibilities to make what we're supposed to be done. And that's why we are trying to make these guidelines only for the most relevant, the most common cases which facing, I would say, the member states and the NSIs in their everyday life in the first cases. So this is the things which we are trying to aim for in the guidelines, which is preparation, although, and then its predecessor was already, it was a review of the different techniques, and based on the most common techniques is used in the guidelines later on. So what is in the guidelines? It's try to follow the steps of data integration. So first of all, we have to look at it, what is the purpose of the administrative data usage or the different data sources. And then in this case, we have to look at as well, what are the data sources available for us? What data sets which we can use combined with some only just data sources or combined with some survey as well. And then we have to look what are the different data configurations, how it is overlapping, not overlapping, is there any common identifier, if we have issues for linkages or not. So this is the next step. Then check the quality of the input data set. The input data sets, depending on this and the configuration, we have to choose a given method. And this is where the guidelines try to provide some best practice, best solutions to have a minimum level of quality later on in the output. And then when we make the data integration based on the provided methods or solutions, then the next step is to check if the output is correct or not. If not, then maybe have to revise and choose different methods. So this is like an iterative process in the whole procedure. So then, as I mentioned already, there is quality check as well in this guidelines, and it's built on a different work package, and I will just briefly mention of it. And then it is the work package 3 on the quality of multi-source statistics, and why we do these things. Because we can see there are a lot of challenges when you do the data integration for representative sources. It can be the relevance in issue, for example. Sometimes it's different what is the concept in the administrative data sources and what is the statistical concept. So it have to make it in line with the together. So this is one of the issues. Then if you have issues with the accuracy, we can see that, for example, in administrative data sources, it's no issue, for example, to recall something because, for example, in surveys, we ask what was happened in last year. People may remember, maybe not, so there is a measurement error in this case. But we can have issues with administrative data sources as well in the accuracy because maybe when we set up the administrative data source, it's good, very good quality. But later on, for example, there is no update, and then it reduces the accuracy of the data source. So we have different issues in this case. As well, we can see issues with timeliness. In case of, for example, census, we can see that administrative data sources can bring forward, making the statistical production. But in other cases, for example, in EU-SILC, we saw as well issues that when they try to move to administrative data sources, for example, income for tax records, we can see the tax records are coming much later than the survey data. So it's an issue created as well, sometimes pro and sometimes cons for using administrative data sources in the data integration, integration procedure. And finally, we can have issues with the comparability. The comparability in issues can be created that, for example, when we start using only surveys and we move to the administrative data sources, it creates breaking series because the statistical concept is not exactly the same, as mentioned previously, than what is in the administrative data sets. So as part of it, to make these quality checks, how it can be this addressed, the Komuzu project was created, as I mentioned, is already part of the Vision 2020 Adim project, and it's supposed to be complete the work which we already been doing on the guidelines, and as well it is, the admin project is built on different building blocks, and so we try to use the results of one blocks in another block. So for example, the results of work package 3 on quality, we try to use in the work package 2 on the estimation methods and in the guidelines on it. So the work package 3 itself has the high-level objectives that try to review the current practice, what can be used in the field of administrative data sources and how it can be used, provide some new quality indicators, and as well, to mention here as well, that we want to check as well, not just the output, that is the input of the data set, input data sources as well, and then maybe provide some recommendations for the future to updating the ASA standard and the handbook or the quality reports. So as mentioned as well, that in our project in the guidelines for estimation method and integration, we look at two sides. One of them is on the input quality, and the other side is the output quality. In the Komuzu project, it's already done the review, how can we assess the input quality of the administrative data sources, what is the basic characteristics, major descriptive statistics or information which we have to need to know about the data sources, if it's good quality or not. And then based on this checklist, we can decide what methods we will use in the data integration process. Then, as we mentioned, we as well that it's not just input quality, that's well output quality, because it depends on the methods that we are using. It can result in a different way. And then, in this way, it's very important to check as well the output quality in a different angle than the usual way which we use in the survey data sets. So, in this way, as well, the Komuzu project are looking at to provide some tests to extend existing measures and then provide some indicators based on these measures which can be used for measuring the output quality. And then as still it's ongoing work, it's not finished yet, and then look at how can we do better, provide better output in this way. And so this is the basic overview of the work package 2 and mentioning about the building blocks which is used from work package 3 of the Komuzu project. And the output of this is already available or partially available on the CROSS portal, which is the CROSS is the Collaboration and Research in Official Statistics, and it is part of the Eurostat website where you can find the different output of as well this project and as previous project which is built on it, and then where you can already provide some input comments on it, because for example, the guidelines which we have prepared, it's available there, the first draft, and now it is reviewed by different working groups, by the ESS members and the different member states as well, and we are expecting some of them that maybe if you have some comments to it, please, or something which you will see that not appropriate, but or you know much better things, we are welcome for such input as well. So this is was briefly the summary, and thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Matias, for this overarching presentation. If you have questions for Matias, please save them for the end, because we will take the questions together at the end. I will invite now Giovanna Brancato from ISTAT to talk about quality guidelines for multi-source statistics. Giovanna is a statistician in ISTAT since 1996, and she has always worked in quality. In 2010, she became the head of unit of the quality unit. And in 2016, after a reorganization of ISTAT, she moved in the methodology directorate and became the quality manager of ISTAT. Please, Giovanna.
Thank you, Serena. So, good morning. What I'm presenting today, the paper and the presentation were prepared by me and by a collaborator of mine, but of course what I'm presenting is the result of a collaboration within the ESSnet group. And so it's also a pleasure for me to thank the colleagues that are part of this ESSnet. Some are sitting on this table, some are over there, and some are not present here, but many thanks to everybody. The aim of this work package one within the ESSnet is to develop quality guidelines for multi-source statistics. The scope of this of these guidelines is multi-source with at least an administrative source and survey data, but big data are excluded by the mandate of this group. We had some requirements from Eurostat, and they were that we needed to be coherent with the Eurostat quality framework, and so the quality dimensions, output quality dimensions, and also to build these guidelines along a quality framework for errors. And also it was required to be in line with the generic statistical business process model. In addition, we had to take into account some basic data configurations which have been defined in a previous specific grant agreement. So we are currently in the second specific grant agreement. So these basic configurations were considered as different ways to integrate micro and macro data under different error assumptions. And in addition, we also link our quality guidelines with the with the definition and application of methodology for the error evaluation that has been developed under another work package of this as ESSnet, work package 3, led by Statistics Netherlands. The ultimate goal is to develop guidelines that are practical and applicable in the European statistical system. So the guidelines are oriented to process managers of the national statistical institutes of the member states, the statistical system, European. Which are the uses that we can envisage? First of all, to guide the process managers in the production of multi-source statistics, taking into account the quality issues. Then to increase the awareness of quality in multi-source statistics. But they can also, these guidelines are supported with additional tools, can be used for quality assessment. Overall, we hope they will provide, they will contribute to increase the quality of the statistical production within the European statistical system. Oh, I'm very glad to show this slide. This is a definition of quality guidelines. It was developed in 2001 by the group Leadership Expert Group on Quality. And this group actually was composed by, I would say, the fathers and the mothers of these Q conferences. So. And they were the first one, and I haven't found anything later on, systematizing the different manuals, I mean, what can be considered the guidelines or recommended practices or best practices. So while coordinating this work of production of quality guidelines, I made reference to these characteristics that the quality guidelines should have. So coming to the draft of the quality guidelines, this is the index. So we have an introductory chapter explaining what they are and who they are oriented to. And then the guidelines are split or organized into two parts. Part one is on overall quality framework and has two chapters. One is more on the framework for the error sources. And the second reports some, I would say, useful quality management principle. Maybe principle is too much, but suggestion to deal with the multi-source environment. The second part is organized according to the Eurostat quality output quality dimension, and sometimes we kept together, the dimensions that are originally together, like timeliness and punctuality. In other case, we think that it's better to split, like for accuracy and reliability. But I mean, it's not so relevant. It's just a matter of organization. So the second part contains principles and guidelines. In general, for each chapter, so for each quality dimension, we define three principles. The first one is aimed at setting the need for error prevention. The second principle is more on what you can do to monitor, correct, and adjust the errors during the statistical production. And the third principle is more oriented to the quality or error assessment. The guidelines contain, some of them are really practical activities. I thought it was very useful to include in some guidelines also some very well-known standard quality indicators, because we have a lot of quality indicators, but sometimes we miss the reason why we have them. So to link them to their meaning, I think was an added value for both the guidelines and the indicators. There are guidelines referring to methods to try or to assess output quality measures and indicators. And these are measures and indicators that are defined in the third work package. And in general, the guidelines are listed from the simpler to the most complex one. Of course, preventing is more a matter of management, and assessing it requires high methodological skills, so it may be more difficult. And finally, we conclude each chapter with a section summarizing the applications that are being developed under Work Package 3, because they provide examples on how to assess quality. So we thought that it was useful to have them integrated in the manual. Okay, this doesn't work, sorry. I will do like this. There are some bullets missing, it doesn't matter. So we developed the guidelines along a quality framework that has to consider many elements. So some of them were requirements from Eurostat. So first of all, output quality, I said, then sources of errors. So we tried to think that a lot of errors can be reconducted to the known sources of errors, like coverage, selectivity, measurement. And so we wanted to put together what the errors that have similar impact and then similar ways to for being assessed and so on. Then we refer to the GSBPM phases because some sources of errors generate during our operations. And then it became, we thought it was useful sometimes also to take, distinguish the survey component and the administrative component. I know that we are thinking about integration and, you know, multi-source statistics means that you are putting together. But in some phases, like for prevention and adjustment, it might be useful to think about these two components separately, because what you do, you know, to improve the collaboration with the data source provider is different from what you do on the survey context. So this was useful for the principles aimed at error prevention and sometimes adjustment. Sometimes adjustment is done on the integrated data. The second part, so the other part of this circle, so these components here. Okay, I said we anchored to the data configurations. Then also we consider this representation and measurement line for those of you, I mean, this pretty well-known literature. So Groves defined a survey life cycle from a quality perspective. And so decided there is a line pertaining to the population and the errors can generate during this stream. And the other one pertaining to the measurement, referred to the measurement, to the variables. Finally, well, when using multi-source data, there is a lot of use resort to modeling, not only during the steps of the production process, but also for estimating. And so we thought that something was useful to be referred to the use of the model or the model-based approach. And of course, these are more useful. This part of characteristics of our quality framework are more useful in the third principle, like the one considering the assessment of the expected impact on estimates of the errors.
Giovanna,
Yes. Okay. So this is a simple example of validity error coming from survey and administrative. Considering the accuracy, of course, is the component that has a lot of errors. So we grouped them into wide categories. And And so, for example, selectivity. Well, there is another component that is survey component and the administrative component to prevent a monitoring. In the guidelines, we consider them separately, and then for the assessment, we consider them together. And this, of course, is an error that concerns the representation line. And so we can suggest the known methods that can be tailored in this situation for coverage assessment. The same can be done for measurement and item missingness. But in this case, as we know, measurement and item missingness can also impact on the measurement line. So we can suggest methods in the guidelines for the measurement error assessment. And finally, for the statistical model, we thought that while suggesting guidelines for the model assumption error, we had to consider many characteristics of the models, like why you are using a model and the nature of the data And then the hypothesis, first they should be reasonable, then you should try to test them. And then issues related to the selection of the variables and the identifiability of the model, estimation and fitting. So concluding, state of the art. We have a draft, the chapters that are in dark blue, and they will be submitted for revision to the main groups at European level on administrative data. And then the light blue chapters are foreseen for the next specific grant agreement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Giovanna, for this very clear and organized presentation. Giovanna has talked about quality guidelines for multi-source statistics, and now we will have Ton Deval, who will talk about quality measures and indicators for multi-source statistics, so linked to the guidelines of Giovanna. Ton is a methodologist at Statistics Netherlands, and he is also professor in data integration at Tilburg University. He has a lot of professional achievements that he does not want me to talk about because he's a very modest person. But he considers that his most important achievement in life is that he is the grandfather of two beautiful grandsons whom he loves to tell fairy tales.
Yeah, okay.
The floor is yours, Ton.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ton Deval, and I'm supposed to entertain you or at least keep you awake for the next 15 minutes. And I will tell you something, I hope, if I understand how this works, about work package 3 of the Comuso project. It's about the output quality of multi-source statistics. And this is more or less what I'm going to tell. That was more or less what's on the slides. But first I will tell you a story. Long ago in the land far, far away, there were some good people. And those good people were trying to make statistics based on single source data. And they did their best, they worked very hard, but they were never very happy. They always said to each other, well, if you had more data, we could do much more. We could produce much more statistics, we could produce much better statistics. So they were always hoping that they would get more data. And one day when they woke up, their wish was fulfilled. There was a beautiful fairy, or perhaps a bad witch, which the story is not very specific about this point. And she said to them, well, I'm going to give you all the data you ever wanted, and I give you much more. Well, the people were very excited, and they said, thank you, good fairy, or bad witch. The people weren't sure either. And they were very excited at first, and they started to work with all the multi-source data that they suddenly got. But they started working on it and soon realized they had much more problems than they ever had before. It was suddenly much more complicated than to do it with single source statistics. But they worked hard, and even harder, and then they decided to work still even harder. And they did all sorts of things in between. But in the end, they ended up with beautiful statistical results based on multi-source statistics. So they proudly went to the king and said, dear king, here we have our first results based on multi-source statistics. And the king, a good man, said, of course, well, that's fantastic. I'm very proud of you. But can you now please tell me what the quality of your data is? Well, this was the end of the story, because the people had no idea. But fortunately, suddenly there was this SNET, and this SNET is going to answer all the questions the people ever wanted to know. This work package is about measuring the quality of output. You do all sorts, you get input with different quality and do all sorts of things in between. And then you want to know, well, and you get some output and then you want to know what's the quality of that. So what did we do in work package 3? We followed an approach. We either studied the literature or we did something more. We studied literature, or we proposed a quality measure ourselves, and then we tested it. So we either did a literature review or we did a suitability test. We produced what's wrote here, quality guidelines, which is a completely incorrect term. And last week we decided to call them quality measures and calculation methods. And those are a short description of a quality measure together with a calculation method. And actually, the quality measure is often not a problem. For accuracy, basically, you always want to know the bias or the variance. And if you can't calculate it, you want to know some approximation of that. But usually, the big problem is in the calculation method, because if you have multi-source statistics, you can do a lot of different things. And for each situation, you have to do to calculate whatever you want to know in a different way. Okay, we also produce some examples, and we're working very hard on producing more examples. Okay, the first thing we did was structure the world a little bit. We broke down the you have a lot of possibilities when you have multi-source statistics, so we broke down all those possibilities in six basic data configurations. Classifying the world always gives you the feeling that you're somehow in control. So this gave us a good feeling. And it helped to structure the work a little bit. We have six basic data configurations, multiple data sets that do not really overlap, where you either have the same units but different variables, or you have different units but the same variables. A very important case is basic data configuration 2, where you do have overlapping variables and overlapping units. Sometimes you have undercoverage. Sometimes you want to combine microdata with aggregated data in some way. And sometimes you only want to reconcile or combine aggregated data, for instance, in the national accounts. And sometimes you do want to do something with longitudinal data. So within the SNET, we have developed about 25 different quality measures and methods to calculate them, and they range from very simple to ridiculously complex. You get a headache the moment you look at the formulas. And we did everything, a lot of things in between. So we have 25. I'm not completely sure if this is a small step for man, but a big step for mankind, or the other way around, a big step for man and a small step for mankind. But at least I think it's a very good starting point. I will give. We've written a paper. In the paper, we give examples of four quality measures and calculation methods. I'll restrict myself here to giving just one example. As an example by my PhD student Laura Boeschoten and Daniel Obersky. And these are very clever and very kind people. After they tried to explain the method to me, and they more or less succeeded, they decided to make me co-author of their paper. So I was very happy about that. In their approach, we have multiple data sources, and in those multiple data sources, we measure the same variable. But of course, you will see that because of measurement error, the observations are different in the different data sources. So their idea was, if we just introduce a new variable, the true variable, and that we don't know that it's a latent variable, then they make a wonderful latent class model with long formulas, and they can write it a different way, and the formulas become even longer. At least you can find some expression for the probability that the true value is something given your observations. In this case, we have S different observations because we have S different data sets. In this model, you can take into account that some things are not possible. For instance, that men cannot be pregnant or that someone who owns a house cannot receive rent benefit for that same house. So you can do that in that model. And in that model, the wonderful thing about that model, the way to combine variables with measurement error from different data sources, is that you can find an expression for the quality. It works with a lot of steps. They do take bootstrap samples and they make later class models and they multiply imputed data. Then they find the thing they're interested in, or they obtain the estimate of interest, and then they use Rubin's pooling results and pool the data. The important thing is below, the essential part is that if you use those rules, you find an estimated variance of the estimates. So the model allows you to find an estimated variance for the thing you're interested in. And we use that as our quality measure for this particular example. We also gave an example of how you can apply that in practice. And there we combined three different data sets, register containing data on addresses and buildings, survey with on general background variables, and a survey on a housing study. And we used the variable, do you receive rent benefit or not, as the target variable, the variable we're interested in. No, that's not complete, that's not true. We're interested in, do you own a house or do you not own a house? And we compared, compared that to, do you receive rent benefit or not? Well, and we use all those complicated formulas. In this case, we're interested in estimating some kind of logit model to predict home ownership. And we used merits as a predictor for that. And then you can use all those difficult formulas. And then you have those formulas, in the end, give you a 95% confidence interval of the estimated intercept and for the estimated regression coefficient. And the important point is that the 95% confidence intervals, they provide the quality measure for the estimate you're interested in. And the same method allows you to find variances and confidence intervals for many other estimates. So with this is an example how you can calculate variances for a large class of estimates that you could possibly be interested in. The final remark about this method. By pooling all those results and using all those complicated formulas, you can find an estimate for the final output. You can also use this method to say something about the quality of the input. By looking at these probabilities, you can look at what's the probability that you observe something in a certain data set given that the true value, given the true value. And the larger the value is, the closer the value is to one, the better the input data is. So you can also say something about the quality of input data, although that was not the original intention. Where are we? Okay, yeah. So this was an example of one quality measure and one way to calculate the quality measure and an example of an example. We have 24 other quality measures and 24 together with calculation methods. And as I said, some of them are very simple. Some of them are incredibly complex. This was an example of a quality measure and calculation method that was relatively complex. But we have even more complex ones, and we have also a lot of measures that are a lot simpler. So we have a lot of stuff, and we hope to publish all that stuff very soon. There's also potential future work. One of the wonderful ideas we had is to find quality measures for coherence, not for accuracy, but for coherence. And that sounded wonderful, and I guess it is still wonderful. For us, it was wonderful until the moment when we started to think about what coherence could possibly mean.
And that's not
entirely clear. If you look at different definitions of coherence, they're not completely coherent. So it's a very complicated concept, and especially if you want to find...
2 minutes.
Oh, we got 2 extra minutes. thank you. especially if you want to find to quantify it. If you want to give a number to coherence, you want to say, well, the coherence of these two data sets is 75%. It's extremely difficult to find something like that. Okay, and we now have about 25 different quality measures and calculation methods, and we also have some kind of framework with basic data configurations, but in the future we hope that a more systematic framework will be developed. Finally, coming back to my story from the beginning, we now did all this work. In the story, the people worked very hard on finding some quality measures for the stuff that they did for the multi-source statistics that they produced. And so they went back to the... I'm not sure how the story ends, because the story is not over yet, but I hope the story will end something like this, that the good people went back to the king and said, well, king, we worked very hard on quality measures, and this is what we produced. And I hope that the king will say, well, this is not the final answer, but you did fantastically, and I think this is very useful, and I'm very happy with the result. And then he will say, thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Ton. I think with this presentation, you managed to prove that you have a lot of experience in telling fairy tales. I invite now Thomas Burg from Statistics Austria to give a presentation on quality guidelines for frames for social statistics. Thomas is the head of quality management and methods in Statistics Austria, and he has behind some 20 years of experience in this statistical office. He started working in methodology and became the quality manager of the institute in 2008. Thomas, please.
Thank you very much, Serena, for this introduction. what I'm going to tell you in the next quarter of an hour is we heard about guidelines. I now will also present about guidelines of a very concrete subject. The subject is frames in social statistics. We might all have some feeling about frames or some imagination what frames are about. But what we put together was something, how frames can be used as well in a different way. So not only as a sampling frame, which seems to be the most common form of use of frames, but also, for instance, for direct use, for direct use, what for tabulation, or in support for certain processes. To be concrete, I will talk about the objectives of this document. Then I will tell you something, how these guidelines were produced, and then going a little bit into more detail, not too far into detail, but telling you a little bit about the structure of the document and about the contents. And I will finalize my presentation by giving an outlook of what could be the role of the document in the present and maybe in the future. So, the general objective of this document was quite clear. It's part of the WIP admin, which was presented by Matthias shortly ago, and it's part of the work package of the ESSnet Comuso, Quality of Multisource Statistics, and it's in some way just realizing what is in the vision. It's part of the Vision 2020, and it's a deliverable there. But there are some specific objectives as well. So when you look in the code of practice, is it can be seen as a building block of safeguarding the compliance to the code of practice when looking, for instance, in the principles 7 and 8, where it's told about methods and appropriate sound methodology and appropriate statistical procedures. Then to have a more concrete objective is to provide producers of social statistics with something for having a systematic guidance in the field of using and constructing and maintaining frames of social statistics. And what I just said before is that our objective was still to widen the view on frames in social statistics. So not only to use them as a basis for samples, but also for the direct use in a multi-source environment. As we will see, or as you might know, frames are in some way can be seen as an output for constructing based on multi-source environment. Okay. Oh, am I? Yes, it fits. So, how did we produce these guidelines? Well, it was not so quite clear when producing concrete guidelines on a certain subject. This is one of the challenges to find out what shall be integrated. And doing this, there was a need to create an imagination about how is the situation around frames in all the countries, and first of all in the member states of the European statistical systems. So what we did, we organized, or it was organized by ADMIN, a questionnaire sent out to all the member states of the ESS, where they were asked several questions about what kind of frames they are using in social statistics, what kind of procedures they have, what kind of outputs they have when it comes to frames. And we enhanced this exercise a little by investigating the situation of frames outside the European statistical system, looking at Canada, Australia, and so on, and other sophisticated countries in the field of official statistics. After that, we defined the first template, the first structure, and discussed this proposal among partners in our team, as well with Eurostat and the steering group ADMIN. Then we came to the part which was very work intense, and I have to acknowledge here all members of my team, which was composed by Team Einsatz Statistik Austria, of course, but as well from Statistics in Italy. Giovanna here contributed a lot, and as well Statistics Lithuania contributed here in a huge way. So we drafted the first version, which we called 0.90, and discussed this among partners arriving at the version 0.91. What was very decisive for us is that, okay, we have a version, but it was our ambition to go a little bit beyond, to have a broad acceptance, and therefore we launched as well some kind of consultation processes having the guidelines, and we involved two groups here, the steering group ADMIN, of course, but as well the working group quality, which is in my view very important that when it comes to quality guidelines that they have a word on it, and consultation process, we received a lot of answers, and we integrated most of them and looked at them and how this can be lead to an enhancement of the version 0.91. And finally, we arrived at the deliverable of the quality guidelines for frames in social statistics version 1.0, which can be seen as the deliverable of this ASSNet work package. We have here an abbreviation, a shortcut, 2GFSS. Just to tell you more a little bit, just a fortnight ago, I gave a presentation in the working group meeting Quality, They were aware of this consultation, and even as an outcome, we now launched Eurostat launched another consultation, also involving the working group methodology. So we are sometimes have finished this version 1.0, but it's already living. We have some remarks. Just when I was sitting in the podium, I received an email by Fabian of an answer of the working group methodology. So you see, it's a permanent thing already. Okay. So now coming to the document. So when we finalized, or when we finally come to a decision for the structure, there were several questions. One of the crucial questions was how to determine definitions, terminology, and concepts. This was a very important question. So the challenge was to render this terminology about frames against, for instance, registers. So this was quite a very intense discussion in doing this. The second question was, what processes are affected by frames? So what are the processes related? We took a look on GSBPM, but we find out that there was a lot of processes related to this, and this was also one of the very challenging issues to fix the processes. What the third question was, what topics finally should we be included in the guidelines? And after considerations, we came here basically to this answer to the question. So what we decided was to have here an introductory chapter in order to provide all the concepts and definitions. And then in this introductory chapter as well, draw the arc to social statistics. So what is the specialty of social statistics? Which is also might be a simple question at first glance, but it's not so easy. So then the second part of the document, or the central part of the document, is what topics should be included for to be covered by the guidelines. So, and we came here to this solution provided in this table. So we had sources for constructing statistics. So we have three top headlines, where you see at the head of the columns, construction and maintenance, use of frames, and quality. And in the cells, you see then the more or less the subheadings. This is sources for instruction, organization, planning, and coordination, methods for construction and possible outputs by the use of frame, of course, sampling as the classical using form, and then support for processing. So we selected two processes, process steps, that is weighting and calibration and edit and imputation. And last but not least, this direct use for statistics, where we mean that frames can be used directly for the tabulation and production of statistical figures. And in the quality chapter, we have methods to assess the quality and quality and metadata. To look a little bit closer in the introductory chapter, we have here a discussion, intense discussion, and we put here the definition of frames set out by Comuso SGA1 to be coherent here. Coherence already mentioned by Ton, so coherence between the guidelines or between the deliverables of the SGA, of the work packages of the ESSnet, was also a topic. A frame is any list of material or device that delimits, identifies, and allows access to the elements of the target or survey population. We defining in the introductory chapter as well the characteristic relevant for social statistics and processes that are using frames. This was the introductory chapter. Of course, the central part are the guidelines, the so-called guidelines chapters, and there are some general aspects. Each guideline chapter is starting with a textual description of the subject, and followed. In the end of this textual description, we are formulating some kind of challenges related to that. And what is then the real important thing is that in the end of a such a guideline chapter, we present a gray box containing the guidelines. And what is important to say is that some of the guidelines are enhanced by so-called minimum requirements. What do we think is essential that there is compliance for this certain guideline?
Thomas, 2 minutes.
Okay, I will speed up. So, these minimum requirements constituted some discussions. Not every guideline is suitable for having such a minimum requirement. And guidelines for frames in social statistics is sometimes okay, but not for every process. Yeah. So sometimes this is a compromise solution. Okay, just very, very quickly, the document constants constructing and maintaining frames in social statistics. There we take a look at sources for construction, for organizational part, organizational support, planning and coordination. We take a look at the methods for constructing frames. We talk a little bit about possible outputs, and we talk a little bit about updating frames. Use of frames in social statistics, essential. We have sampling, we concentrate on sampling frames and such, have a special chapter on contact variables. For the processing, we have weighting and calibration and added in imputation. For the direct use of producing statistics, we decided to look at it in a way, how is the effect of an output quality when you use frames as a source for direct statistics. And we structured this, of course, along the quality dimensions relevant for the European statistics as outlined in, for instance, regulations 2-3. So, quality, very shortly. The document contents assessing and evaluation of the quality of frames in social statistics. We have some repository here of possible assessments, and we talk about quality and metadata management, quality improvement, and quality reporting. We as well have some annexes. The quality indicators already talked about. We have a reference list, and we have a glossary, which is also in consistency with the quality glossary for admin, or for the glossary of admin. I will finalize now and to give my views about the present of and future role of this document. The quality guidelines for social statistics is a deliverable of SGA2 of ASCII-COMUSO. This is clear. It summarizes in a way what is seen state of the art when dealing with frames in social statistics. It will be very interesting, I think, to collect experiences when this document is in the field. As I already told it we presented this document, we put it already on the cross portal, and now it's a little bit, it must be clarified what is the role of the document. In my eyes, it's not a legal obligation for a member state in order to change some well-established procedures. But should provide a guidance. Then updates, it could be very necessary. Even now, we got more and more, and when we were asked if there is still a possibility to have some additional remarks incorporated. We see how we can do this. We try to manage. There's also a task force on sampling frames having a meeting in September, and there will be a discussion too. And my final remark is, for the sake of completeness, now it's dealing with social statistics, but there should be in some way some enhancement as well for business statistics. Okay, sorry for being a little bit too much time consuming, but thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Thomas, for this very informative presentation. And now it's the turn of the audience. I would like to invite you to ask questions, indicate your interest, and you will receive a microphone. And I would like those of you to ask those of you that ask a question to introduce yourself. We will take a few questions, and then we will give the floor to the presenters.
Hello, my name is Mina Ramic. I'm from Federal Office of Statistics of Germany, and I have a question for Mr. De Waal. I might have the role now as a king's fool, but I see myself, in my eyes, I'm more like a counselor or advisor of the king with this question. I'm interested in indicators, if you thought about that, indicators that measure how STC, statistical disclosure control, has influence on the output. I mean, are there any indicators? Did you think about that to introduce them before and after? It belongs both to output, but it has this before and after applying the methods. Thank you.
My name is Laurie Reedman. I'm from Statistics Canada, and my question is for Thomas. Perhaps it's just a question of vocabulary, but when you say frame, and you talk about, in particular, using the frame for statistical inference, deriving statistics, to me, that would be a register. So I'm wondering, do you use these words interchangeably, or do you understand a register to be something different? Thank you.
Thank you. Tina Steinvorden, Statistics Slovenia. Thank you for your presentations and even more for all the work you are investing in preparing all these quality guidelines. I see myself, I have a question here from the side of a user of this document. So I'm wondering, like, if you have any thought about this, like, how these guidelines that are being developed are fitting with each other. I mean, to a certain extent, these are a bit overlapping documents in the topics, and are these fitting puzzles, and how maybe this is more of a question also from you, for Eurostat, like how this is presented, that from for someone who is not deeply involved in all these documents in the preparation and being involved, you see a picture behind it, but from the side of a user who wants to have something friendly, easy and friendly to use, like, how will you structure these documents? And also, like, what Thomas pointed out, like, regarding the updating of these documents, so how to make sure that the things that are available for the users are really up to date and the ones that we need, so to say. But thank you.
Adam Wroński, Eurostat. I have a question to, first, I have a question to Tom. You made, at the end of your talk, you made a remark about more organization or everything. Could you elaborate on this, organization of the data, how to put it all together? That's what I understood at the end. And perhaps I will answer already partially to Tina. Good Ferry brings this guidelines, and there is plan from Eurostat to organize a seminar towards the end of the year where the guidelines will be The quality guidelines will be presented, and opportunity for various participants to comment on this. And also next year, there will be two seminars on results of admin project and their further implementation. Actually, it's not a seminar, workshops, where these issues actually we would like to discuss and seek from everybody, this will be open workshops, feedback, what to do next, how to improve, next steps, etc. Thank you.
There is one more here. And then I think we can stop a little bit for the presenters to answer.
Just have a short question. My name is Irina Meinke from the Federal Statistical Office in Germany. I have a question to Giovanna Brancato. To you speak about the guidelines for multi-source statistics, and you spoke a lot about quality indicators and integrating them in the guidelines. My question is, what do you mean with quality indicators? Do you mean the quality and performance indicators, which are published on the Eurostat website, or do you have even more specific indicators which go much deep further? So, okay, thank you.
Thank you. Who wants to start answering?
Yeah. Okay, I answer the question of Lori. As I said in my presentation, it was one of the challenges to render the definitions between frame and register. To answer your question, we do not use this term interchangeably. In my view, the most characteristic for a frame against a register is the frozen status. A register is, in my eye, a more living thing than a frame. A frame is updated not in a continuous way, or it might be some floating overlap. But in my way, it is the case that the frame, which can be drawn from a register or from a variety of registers in a multi-source environment, fixed for a certain time. So I also provide in the guidelines, we provide sometimes guidelines to point out that the frozenness of frame can be seen as advantages in terms to for guaranteeing coherence and so on.
I guess I have to disappoint a few people. Let's first disappoint the lady over there. In the SNET, we do not explicitly look at the use of statistical disclosure techniques and its effect on quality. I suppose that if you add noise to tables or microdata, you should be able to calculate bias and variance. But if you do something like cell suppression, I have no idea. So I'm afraid I have to disappoint you. There was also a question about how to put. I guess that my remark at the end about building a better framework. I have to disappoint you too. That's my hobby, disappointing people. Well, if I had known how to do it, I would have done it in the SNET. But I'm afraid this is a trial and error process that will just cost time. And I think this is a very important first step. And I guess that I hope that other people will start using it and start reflecting on it and come up with ideas how to improve it. And if I had known how to do it, I would have done it immediately and would have become world famous. Okay, there was also a question about how to use the documents. That's another excellent question. And the only way I know how to help people doing that is by giving a lot of possible entrances, splitting up the quality measures according to error types, or splitting them up to different kinds of situations,
or splitting them up into input data. But that's the only answer I can come up with. But fortunately, at the end of the year, we probably have a workshop, and I hope that the participants there will have a lot of better ideas. So, anyone else who wants to be disappointed?
First, I give the floor to Giovanna. Please don't disappoint us.
Okay, so first the question by Irina. Okay, so you know, in the past, there have been many projects working on quality indicators. So we have a lot of very good quality indicators produced within the Blue ETS project, the Admin Data project. Somebody said in our group said we have so many quality indicators, now it's time to compute them rather than. Okay, to me, the quality indicators we refer in the quality guidelines, I'm talking about the prevention and monitoring phase, are mainly the quality and performance indicators defined by Eurostat. However, we also, since the quality of the input has a relevant role in quality of the statistical production by using multi-source, we also exploited the results of the first specific grant agreement of this ESSnet, which tested many input quality indicators. So we also refer to that list. And I want to reflect a little bit to Tina Stimulus. I don't know what the others will do. I have something in mind for my institute. So we at ISTAT have always been in charge of the quality training courses. So we have a program ranging from, you know, quality, what you should know if you are not a statistician and what you should know if you are a statistician. And so far we were very much focused on surveys quality. And now that also the quality function is very much linked to the methodological function, I think that we need to modernize also our training program and try to spread the quality culture in terms of monitoring and assessing quality when using multi-source statistics. And this requires a good collaboration between you know, my function and the methodological function that is represented here also in this conference. Because the way ISTAT is organized, that I mean, the production carries on the activity in some part of the production process, they are independent. But for I think the more advanced application, they require also support from the centralized methodological function.
Thank you very much. Matias, would you like to add something on this discussion?
Yes, concerning as well to Tina's question, because we see as well the issue that we have a lot of output from the admin, different admin work packages, and there is overlap, and it's not very clear where you can find what you can find, especially across portal. We already have a consultation with the steering group that we would like to see what they can propose, how can we better present the output, which you already have. At least we have a plan that make an index like a library or like a bibliography of all the existing output, making by keywords you can be searchable, and then it can be reached what is the actual document which view are necessary for you. And as well, maybe it will maybe present in a nicer way after the input from the steering group. And then concerning the updating of the documents, it's a quite relevant question. Some of them is planned that be proposed to be a guideline as a standard. And the standardization procedure, it expects that regular review of the standards. If still actual, it's not. So in this way, it will be at least those which will be proposed and accepted as a standard, it will be reviewed regularly. For other documents, I cannot guarantee that it will be regular review, but maybe in the future projects, it will be reused, and in this case, it will be revised in the future next steps.
Thank you very much. Are there any more questions or comments? We still have a few minutes. Okay, then if there is nothing more, I would like to thank a lot to the speakers for all these very good presentations and also for the excellent cooperation during the admin project, which I hope will continue until the end of the project. I also want to thank to the organizers and especially to the technical support and to all of you for coming and listening to us. Thank you very much.